Good morning, everybody. You can go ahead and turn to Acts 12 if you want to. So usually the messages that I give are either because I've been thinking a lot about something, or me or somebody in my family has been going through something. So this morning's going to be about ministry and purpose and what's our lives supposed to be, and seasons of life and how things change. This is just an overview before we get into this. So, of course, y'all know that 2 weeks ago something tragic happened to me and Samantha. The tragedy's here this morning, too. So just giving them a hard time. I'm glad that Bubba and Abby are married and seem to be doing well, and that they're here this morning, so appreciate that. But we're just going to look at this and just be mindful of what God has for us, what He wants us to do. And as we get in, it's going to be a lot of questions this morning. So as we get into those and we start answering them and just considering where we're at, where we feel like we should be, and possibly where the Lord wants us to be, and just move forward. I didn't tell Jim what songs to pick out or anything, but they are appropriate for this morning. Trust and obey, that's how we should live the life of a believer, and take my life and let it be. And then you can fill in the blank of however that is. What does God want us to be? He wants us to reflect Christ, but how do we reflect Christ? And for each one of us, it's going to be individual. He's going to bring each of us personally through different things, and that's going to show us what He's doing in our lives, and it's going to show others what Christ can do through us. So it's about trusting and obeying. Before we get into it, let's just open up with a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank You this morning. We thank You for the goodness of God that is shown in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that because we have trusted in Him and what He's done for us, we have life in You. We have eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins, salvation, eternal life, going to be with You forever. And we have that love that never ends. And we just long to see that day when we are able to put that faith in the sight and just enjoy You for eternity. Until that day, we pray that this message would be an encouragement to our hearts. Help us to keep our eyes on You, in Christ's name. Amen. I'm hoping that my voice holds up. I've noticed that when I get sick like this, my ears rattle real bad when I'm talking, and it makes me feel like, I don't know, it's just weird. Maybe that's how it feels with hearing aids, I don't know, but it's just weird. So this in the middle, what's it called? The dash. I put my year when I was born. So we're going to talk about the dash in between our birth and our death, or the rapture if it should take place. So that dash is a life worth living. Every single one of us has a life worth living, no matter what we're going through. That's why when you look across the border to Canada and they're starting doing assisted suicide, and as basically they're whatever you want to kill yourself for, they'll allow you to do that up in Canada right now. But no matter what we're going through, that's a life worth living. No matter how much suffering or sorrow or pain, whatever it is, that is a life worth living. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He went for us. He had a purpose, and He set His eyes on that. And a lot of that, as He went through that, was pain and suffering and sorrow. And yet the end result is that we get to be with God for eternity. So every life has worth and value. So we as Christians often ask, what is God's will for my life? What is His purpose for my life? How many of us in this room have been asking that question at one time or another? How many still asking that? So all of this is going to be applicable for us this morning as we start thinking about the things of God. So Acts 12:25, I've got it up here, but if you want to, hopefully you've already turned to it anyway. So Acts 12:25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now all we want to do is just focus on fulfilling their ministry. So they were sent out as missionaries, as apostolic delegates, to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in these different scenarios. But when they came back, they have fulfilled that particular ministry for that particular time. So when we think about us fulfilling our ministry, that word ministry, it means service, ministering, especially of those who execute the commands of others. So you're a representative and you're going out and doing the bidding of somebody else. Abby would go to the store for us every once in a while, and she was doing the bidding for us because she was going to bring back what we wanted. That's the process. So as we think about ministry, it's not something great. A lot of times we'll think about, well, what is God calling me to? Is he calling me into ministry? The answer is yes. Every single one of us who are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called us into ministry. A lot of times what we think about is, well, should I be a pastor? Should I be a teacher? Should I be an evangelist? And we start focusing on our gifts. Our gifts are given to us to serve, to minister. So again, ministry, thinking about that. How can one fulfill their ministry if they're uncertain of what their ministry is? Now, the majority of y'all raised your hand about purpose and ministry, so we're unsure of what God wants us to do. So we're going to talk about that this morning. How can we know what our ministry is? My passions, my desires, my talents, my abilities are different than y'all's. How many in here like reptiles, snakes, lizards, and so forth? What is wrong with y'all? Abby didn't even raise your hand. I raised you right. What happened to you? Bubba's holding her arm down. That's why. So that is my unique aspect of me, that God created me to be like that. If you want to know anything about reptiles, snakes, lizards, and so forth, I can just about answer those questions, because I've given myself to studying and learning about those things. That's one of my passions. I wouldn't call it a ministry, but as Samantha and Abby know, I have used reptiles in a ministry. All right, I know this is small, but we're just going to read some verses and try and answer these questions as we go through this message this morning. So what is God's will for my life? And Romans 12:2 gives us a glimpse of what that is. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. That's for every single believer. It's not just for the elites. It's not just for the super spiritual. This is for every single believer. And I'm using the Amplified Version right here just because it gives you more. It just adds to it. It's not adding something contrary to the Scriptures. It's just explaining it more. So Romans 12:2 is showing us what our will, what God's will is for our lives. What is his purpose for my life? So the Greek word for purpose means to show forth or to put in view. We think about God's purpose. Well, what does that mean? It's to show forth his glory. It's what God wants us to do. Romans 8:28, we're all familiar with this verse. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for God, for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. So everything that we go through, and we know about what some of us are going through and what some of us have gone through in the past and so forth. It is a plan. It's good for those who love God, and it's according to his plan and his purpose. Doesn't mean that what we're going through is good. It means that what we're going through is good for us because of his plan and his purpose. Cancer's not good. Going through a traumatic situation is not good. A helicopter crash is not good. But God can use those according to his plan and his purpose for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So that's the context of it. It's not saying that all things are good. We know that sin is in this world. Even our flesh is still alive and well, and it still functions in sin. And that's not good. But God can use these things according to his plan and his purpose. How can we know what our ministry is? There's so much confusion out there today, and we wonder, what does God want me to do in the midst of all of this chaos going on? He wants us to minister. Now may the God of peace make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that is our ministry, to do his will. Hebrews 13:20 A and 21. So we're going to read these verses if you want to turn to John 17:3, and we're going to answer these questions a little bit more as we contemplate what God's purpose is for our lives, what is our ministry, what is our calling, how does He want us to live. So John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is pretty familiar to us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So what is God's will for my life? What is His purpose for my life? How can we know what our ministry is? We always need to go back to the Scriptures and read what God's plan is for our lives. We can go and there's business coaches, there's so many different consultants. The list goes on, the people that you can go and ask to help you do something. But we need to be going first to the Word of God and allowing God to show us what we need to do and allow Him to be our helper. So these are the answers to our questions concerning, as we looked at these three verses. So what is God's will for my life? To know Him, to glorify Him, to represent Him. That's pretty simple, right? If it was, then all of us wouldn't have raised our hands still looking for our purpose and our ministry. But this is the general concept for each of these questions. So what is His purpose for my life? To know Him, to glorify Him, and to represent Him. How can we know what our ministry is? Go. Put it into action. Don't be stale. Don't be stagnating. Move and see what God has for us. What happens to us, at least with me, is I start fixating on specific ministry. Well, I've got a desire to teach the Word of God. Maybe I should be a pastor, teacher, or something like that. We've got all of these things that run through our minds. We're focused on specific ministry. And that's where we get caught up, and that's a lot of times what happens to us, and we end up being stuck because it's not happening according to what we think our ministry should be. So we're going to get two examples this morning. We're going to look at Moses and his life. We're not going to look at the Scriptures. We're just going to get a general overview of how he lived his life, and then we're going to look at Paul as well. These are probably the most known people in the Scriptures beside Christ Himself. I didn't use the Lord Jesus Christ because He's God. I wanted to focus more on what human beings and how we function with God in our lives. So Moses, his purpose, to know God, to glorify God, and to represent Elohim, Yahweh. His ministries throughout his lifetime, this is just an overview. It's probably not everything that he had. He was a deliverer, he was a prophet, he was a lawgiver, he was a mediator, he was an intercessor, he was a judge, he was an administrator, he was a military leader, he was a worship leader, a songwriter, he was a teacher, he was a trainer, and again, it was more characteristics of him and more roles. He was also a son. We know that story very well and how his mama put him in the basket and sent him down the river and then things miraculously happened. He was a husband, and he was a father, and again, the list of his ministries and his occupations. So with some of these, there was overlap. With others, they were seasonal, specific to life events. Now, the reason why I talked about this is as we go through these slides, we'll get into some specifics about how this can happen. So let's look at Paul. And again, not all of his background of how he was Saul and then he was changed into Paul, but just an overview of what went through his life specifically as a believer. So again, his purpose is the same as Moses, to know God, to glorify God, to represent Yahweh Elohim. His ministries throughout his life, again, this is just a general overview. He was a disciple, he was a discipler, he was an apostle, witness, mentor, he was a leader, a teacher, an intercessor, a mediator, a missionary, a church planner, theologian. Again, you could fill in some more things. He was and is also a spiritual father to many. Each one of us in this room this morning who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is your spiritual father, because we get a lot of our understanding of what Christianity is specifically and uniquely from Paul's letters. You think about the church. Well, how do I know about the local church and what the church is? It's because God revealed to Paul what the church was, that mystery being revealed. So, I mean, here he is, and we're still seeing people growing and maturing in the writings of Paul. So he's still a spiritual father to people. Paul lived a life of purpose in poly ministry. Poly just means many. So he had many ministries, but he had one specific purpose. This is us. I'm using me as an example in these boxes up here, but this is us, and this is what Paul was, and this is what Moses was. So our purpose is always this: to know God, to glorify God, and to represent Him. As believers, this is it. Keep it simple. The KISS method. I'm not going to say stupid, but just keep it simple. That's all we have to do. What's my purpose in my life as a believer? To know God, to glorify God, to represent God. The next question is going to be, what does that mean? How do I do that? And that's where the specific uniqueness of each individual believer is going to be. For me, I'm biologically a man. I mean, I don't play around with the gender dysphoria, stuff like that. I'm always going to be a man. I am a husband. That was by choice. Some people might say that Samantha tricked me and swindled me and everything else, but that's for here, and that will be until one of us takes our last breath. I mean, we're committed. Bubba and Abby, y'all need to be committed like that. I'm a father, thankfully, from Abby coming into our lives. I'm an employee. We think about business owners. Even if you're a business owner, you're dependent upon customers, which makes you an employee. We're all working for somebody. I'm a member of this local church. I'm a peer, which means I am related to different ones in different realms that I deal with. And then you've got all of these other boxes that would call who I am and what I'm doing. I changed it up this morning, and I put some arrows going back towards some of these other things. And the reason being is because we go back to there's some overlap in what's going on. Right now, there's a lot of overlap right in here for the things that are going on in my life as a husband, father, a man, employee, and so forth. But then there's some things that are starting to happen seasonally, and some things are changing in different directions and stuff. This one right here, because of what happened 2 weeks ago, that's a unique thing that's changed in my life as a father. She's no longer up under my care. She's up under Bubba's care. So I'm still her father, but now I have to relinquish a lot of that control because Bubba has stepped in to fill a void. Well, not a void, but he's the new man in her life. As a husband, me and Samantha, we have developed in that relationship over the 26 years that we've been together. So that's just how things go. Health issues and whatever it is, so things have changed. Again, as an employee, I worked most of my life at one location, and now I've changed the job, so that's seasonal things that have happened. This local church and how we have developed over time, when we were meeting in each other's basements, and how where we're at today, and then the different dynamics that have happened with all of that. Same purpose always, though, but the way that I minister within that purpose has changed over my 48 years of life. 27 years of being a believer. So that's how things happen. I think it might be on the other slide. I don't want to jump ahead. I could put Samantha right there as mother, and her role as a mother has definitely changed, and sometimes we don't handle change very well. I'm not going to go into more detail than that. Actually, I will as we move forward. All right, so it can be said this way: there is one purpose, many ministries. It's not that we need to be looking for a specific ministry or a calling that we think we should have. It's just how is God working in our lives and through our lives at every single aspect, 24 hours a day, in that 24-hour time, how is He working through us to minister to other people? whether it's at our job, whether it's in our home, whether it's interacting with different people out in public, whatever it may be, that's our ministry. It's how we relate to other people. Wherever that is, it doesn't matter. We don't have to necessarily hear a voice from God or anything. We already know what our purpose is. And then our ministry is, well, how do I live my daily life? And how am I ministering and serving the people that come into contact with me? That's our ministry. So Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 12 regarding the various gifts, varieties of ministries, varieties of effects, and the one body with many members. We learned about this as we went through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you need any updates or jog your memory again, they're on the website, and you can go back and listen to those messages. But Paul was speaking regarding the church, but this is applicable to individual believers. There's one body, and there's many members. There's one purpose, but I've got a lot of different ways I can minister within that purpose. So the best thing that we can do is open ourselves up and see what God's going to do through us. It doesn't matter if it's joyful days or sorrowful days, we are still ministering to people within those aspects of what we're going through. So we have one purpose that is lived out, worked out in various forms of service and ministry. So in fulfilling the Lord's purpose in our lives, our various ministries, callings, roles, and responsibilities may overlap. And I just gave you a glimpse of Moses and Paul and even of my life and how a lot of our ministry and how we serve will overlap, and it's actually going to change over time too in certain situations. So they may develop and broaden over time depending on what our focus is. They may change like the seasons as we complete tasks and mature. I think about the first thing that comes to my mind is health issues. Most of the time, that's going to be seasonal as we go through those. I've got a cold. I wake up with the flu or something, or there's an acute injury that goes on, and then we get healed, and then we move on. Then there's going to be some chronic aspects. There's going to be cancer that shows up in certain ones, and that's going to be longer as we go through those things. Last point is, the Lord may close and open doors of opportunity based on our faith and obedience, trust and obey in the ministry or the ministries that we have and that we're already doing. So the hold back in what God is doing in our lives is us. We lack faith in certain situations. We don't obey in certain situations. So God would have something for us to do and want to work mightily through us, but we were the ones, we were the issue. And then we start looking back, man, if I had just trusted and obeyed, God would have done this, this, and this. And he probably would have done more than that, but we're the limiting factor, not God. So each of us are going through change. It is inevitable and constant. Is that true? It's like the weather in North Carolina. We were looking at the forecast. It's going to be in the 70s today and in the 40s tomorrow. So that's the way change is. It's constant. Praise the Lord, we have an unchanging God that doesn't revoke his promises. He's made a plan. He has a purpose, and he doesn't change that. Whatever we go through in our lives, as long as we remember what his plan and what his purpose is, he's going to bring us through that. He's going to do what we thought wasn't possible, but he's going to bring us through that one way or the other. Just be focusing on what his purpose is. He uses his followers, his body, to minister to one another in these life stages, these life changes, these life-altering moments. And each one of us have gone through a life stage, we've gone through life changes, and we've gone through life-altering moments. And hopefully the body of Christ, this local body, has stepped up and ministered to the people as we've gone through these different things in our lives. We each need to be present, attentive, and available to respond to the Spirit as he prompts us to minister to others in their season of life. So many of us, we get fixated on a calling or a ministry that we lose focus on what we could have been doing in the here and now. Well, I feel like God's calling me to this, and I'm going to focus on this, and God's not calling me to that. But then there's all of these other opportunities of ministry, and I miss out on those because I'm focused over here where God doesn't want me to be. So there are individuals in this meeting going through, and I listed out the things that I know, and then I left this open. I'm trying to think. We'll get to this in a minute, but the focus is going to be, how can I pray for you? How can I serve you if you don't tell me what's going on in your life? If we keep everything hidden, then we don't build these relationships, and we are actually hindering the Holy Spirit from ministering through somebody else because we kept our mouths closed and we decided we were just going to suffer through it on our own. And this is what some of this is. So we know that there are people within our local meeting that are going through cancer treatment, have cancer, empty nest syndrome, I guess I would call it that. Samantha can go ahead and raise her hand on that one. Those that are newly married, those that have a pregnancy, raising young children, raising teenagers, aging parents, addiction recovery, marital strain and stress, job issues, chronic pain, financial strain, depression, anxiety. And again, if it's not up here, that's probably because you haven't told anybody what's going on in your life. Otherwise, we could fill it in as well. But all of these things right here are what some people in this local meeting are going through. These are things that we can serve these people in whatever they're going through. This is how we can pray for these people better. But there are probably some other things that are going on in our lives. How can we pray for you? How can we serve you? Empty nest. I don't think I had this on here, but Samantha's example, and I'm going to use her as an example. Samantha's one of them. She does not handle change well. I mean, how many knew that? All the women did, and that's going to be my point. This time, instead of her, Abby knows, she did fall apart a little bit, but she's handling it. She reached out to the ladies within this local meeting. She reached out to the women outside of this local meeting. Hey, this is my tendency. It's just natural for her. Pray for me. Reach out to me. Support me. And y'all have done a good job. Thank you. So it's just stuff like that. The newly married, we need to be praying for them too over there. Because Abby's so much like her mom and her daddy. Poor Bubba. But we want to be here for the newly married, for the newlywed, to support them. So that as the years go on, they become not newlyweds, but they're aging with each other, and then they can celebrate 38 years, 50-some years, 50-some years, and you see that. That's how it's done. We minister to one another. We support one another. We equip each other, and we build each other up. Pregnancy, I can't help you with that, but all the ladies who have had children can. But that's what happens. We come together, and we reach out to one another. Raising young children, y'all need all the help you can get. We only had one, and that was enough. Raising teenagers, y'all going to need all the help y'all can get, especially with the girls. Aging parents, that's a dynamic. All of us get older. Some of us age well. Some of us don't age well. In America, we're starting to live longer than we used to. And whether that's good or bad, depends on who you talk to and what's taking place. But we have to deal with aging parents. There are some of us who have already gone through that. We can give advice. We can help and do these things, but we need to know what's going on with people. Addiction recovery. Not all of us struggle with the same things, but some of us have struggled with addiction, and we can help each other and encourage one another and so forth. And just a list of these things. Marital strains. So many times, me and Samantha have been married for 26 years. I'm just going to be blunt and honest with you. We have had some strains and some struggles over those years to the point where, and both of us already, we know this, we were tempted to get a divorce on quite a few times. I wish I had reached out to some of the men that I knew over the years and say, hey, I'm struggling. I don't know how to be a husband. She don't know how to be a wife, or at least in my mind, she's not the wife I think I need. We didn't reach out to people. We struggled through it. By the grace of God, we're still here, and we're a lot better now than we were. But we should have just said, hey, we're struggling with what we're going through. Financial issues, the same thing. Job issues. Should I take this job or should I take that job? Should I stay here? My job's not paying me enough. My job, the insurance sucks. Whatever it is, but we talk to each other and we work these things through. Depression and anxiety. The women are more vocal about this. Men need to talk about it too. I'm not going to ask any of the men to raise your hand if you've ever struggled with depression or anxiety. I have. And I know what it feels like. Not to the extent that Samantha does or what she's gone through, but I do know. And then fill in the blank. So there are individuals that are going through different issues. We will continue to go through different issues in our lives, but just communicating with one another, that way we can do some of these things. For each of us, these stages of life, God has given the members of this local meeting talents, abilities, and gifts that can and should be used to build up and encourage other members. So I'm just putting a plug in again for discipleship. This is where the rubber meets the road. As we interact with each other in a discipleship, building up one another context, we get to know each other, our weaknesses, our struggles, our successes, and what's going on in our lives. And that way we can know that, well, when that person is going to be in that situation, I need to be praying for that person and texting that person, calling that person, because I know in that situation, that person struggles, whatever it is. Doesn't have to be sin. It could just be that they get anxious, they get nervous in a certain situation. And I know it because we've been in a discipleship relationship and growing, and I'll be reaching out to that person, supporting them. For each of these stages of life, God wants us to pray for one another. That means we must be talking to each other, vulnerably and transparently sharing specific needs and requests. That means we must be willing to and intentionally desiring to know each other, our weaknesses, our struggles, our successes, and the list goes on. For each of these struggles, again, or these stages of life, God wants us to be available. That means we have to prioritize our lives. That means we have to expend time, energy, and resources, personal space. That means we're going to get uncomfortable. I'll just give an example of the marriage situation. Husbands have to prioritize our lives so that we are there for our wives. Vice versa. The wives need to prioritize their lives so that they are there for their husbands, making sure that we spend that time. I sent this out to the guys in my discipleship group talking about the marriage relationship. If I'm married and I'm a believer, there's two people that should be most important in my life, and it's not the dog, it's not the cat, it's not even the child as much as we love her. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And then if I'm married, who's going to be next? Who should be next? My spouse. Nothing should come in between that relationship. Jesus, if Samantha wants me to do something that's contrary to what the Lord has told me or He's shown me in Scripture, then I shouldn't obey my wife. But other than that, it's Jesus first, and then it should be my spouse. Next, it would be my child, and then it goes on from there. And hopefully the dog and the cat are way down on that list. Hopefully, Bubba. So relationships are messy. Life is messy. Yet God uses the members of His body to minister to one another with a message in that mess. So we pray for one another and we support one another, but we have to be available and we have to be communicating with each other. So just to go back over this, what is God's will for my life? It's to know, glorify, and represent Him. What is His purpose for my life? To know, glorify, and represent Him. How can we know what our ministry is? We simply go. We'll read these verses real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read them real quick. Verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also are our comfort is abundant through Christ. So all of us are going through something in our lives. One of the reasons why we get to be unique in the circumstances that we go through is that when God shows Himself faithful to us while we're going through that, He allows us to show other people that we can be comforted in no matter what situation we're going through. Empty nest, daughter gets married, and it's a new role for us now. We can comfort one another because we know that there are others within this local meeting that have experienced that over time, and y'all are still alive, and y'all are still functioning, and you're doing okay. It's for everything like that. You lost your job. Well, somebody else has gone through that, and God's going to send that person to comfort you because they've already been through that. So instead of looking for specific ministries, look for what God's going to do through us, for us, to us, with us, and glorify Him in all of these situations of our lives. So hopefully that's an encouragement to Samantha not to worry, but just to know that we have a different ministry now. The seasons of life continue to change, and it doesn't matter what we're going through. God has a plan and a purpose, He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to stop loving us. We're going to be with Him for eternity. So while we're on this earth, trust and obey. All right, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we just thank You this morning that Your word is true, that You are true, that You'll never leave us, that You are deeply concerned about us, that You have a purpose for our lives, and we really don't have to wonder and struggle about that. It's in Scripture that Your plan and Your purpose is for us to know You, to glorify You, and to have a relationship with You. Father, we just thank You so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and that He has made that way of access perfectly and completely. So we pray that as we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that each one in this room is, I pray that we wouldn't be necessarily looking for specific callings or specific ministries, but that we would minister and serve right where we're at, with whatever job we're working at, with whatever people we interact with. However we can, help us to be that servant, to be that minister for the glory of God. We thank You this morning that we're here to support one another. Help us to talk to one another, to share the struggles and successes in our lives. Help us to get to know each other so that we can pray more specifically and purposely, and help us to support one another as well. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.